Well, as I said earlier, I'm Jack. I'm a man of recovery, and I'm a grateful believer and also an alcoholic, and I'm happy to be here. Welcome. Hey. So I truly do mean that. Welcome. Welcome back. If it's been a while since you've been back, welcome. If it's your first time, welcome. I was looking back. We're on lesson three tonight in our teaching series. For those of you that are not necessarily familiar with the CR format, each week we have typically either a teaching, which we do this week, or a testimony, which we did last week, either live or in person, where someone just shares their story. The teachings come from a really intensive, life-changing program that Celebrate Recovery has. We call it a STEP study. Some of you that may be familiar with secular recovery programs like AA, which is what I'm familiar with, we definitely study the 12 steps, and we use the 12 steps here in Celebrate Recovery. But a Celebrate Recovery STEP study is much more in-depth. And as I say, if you take it seriously and you work it, it's going to be about 6 to 8 or 9 months, depending on how fast you move through, how fast your group moves through. It's done in a group format, so there's accountability, and there's the ability for you to hear what others have to say. But it is a life-changing event, and as soon as we get hopefully a little more freedom of movement, numbers, mingling, all that type of stuff, we can schedule a STEP study for those of you that haven't been through one and would like to do so. So this is the third lesson in a 26, I think it is, lesson series that we really dig into deep. So the teachings here are by no means a substitute for a STEP study. It just kind of gives you a taste or a flavor of what we do in those studies. So lesson three, so we've done lesson two, and lesson one, of course, is where we started. So tonight's lesson is on hope. Hope. So at 6:45, well, actually, it was probably like 7:20 this morning. I was laid out in one of those medical hospital gurneys I had already prepped, but I was about ready to go in for the colonoscopy. So that's what I was doing early this morning while some of you might have been sleeping or having your coffee. And I was hoping that when we got into the colonoscopy room that my doctor had not had too much coffee himself and was a little nervous or jittery. I was hoping that, okay? And oftentimes we use that word hope. It's kind of commonly used to mean a wish. And its strength is in the individual. The strength is in my desire that my doctor, in this case, I hope that he is qualified to do this. So, but the strength comes from my desire. Hope that we're going to talk about tonight, which is biblical hope, or CR hope, is the confident expectation of what God has promised. And its strength is based on his faithfulness. And so it's a whole different ball game, as they say. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight when we go through the hope lesson. So you have a handout. It has some notes in it that you can follow along with me if you want. The hope lesson is one of those lessons that we use in the acrostic teaching format. So each letter in the word hope is going to represent or stand for kind of a point that I'm going to cover with you tonight. And so if you want to do some filling in or jotting some notes down while I'm speaking to you, feel free to do so. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." And so I ask you tonight, are you prepared to do this? Are you prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have? And that question might take you a bit off, because it's oftentimes we get people in this room who are hopeless. And so this is a lesson they're thinking, oh my gosh, I've come to the wrong place. You haven't. If you are hopeless, I can relate. That was me about 9 years ago when I walked through those doors. But if you are a follower of Christ, you should be willing to share that hope with others. And what a timely time of year to be talking about this as we celebrate the birth of of hope, essentially. The birth where hope and came to this earth in the form of Jesus Christ, and we celebrate the birth of hope coming to mankind, if you will. And so, just a quick review of where we've been so far in our teaching. We start with lesson one in denial. And most recovery needs to start there. We need to get out of denial. And if we look at the gospel story, it kind of starts with denial. It starts with the fall. It starts with Adam actually trying to hide from God. Adam and Eve trying to hide from God. So denial is right in the very first part of the first part of the first part of the scriptures. We're denying the darkness in our lives. Let's face it. We don't tend to deny those things that are bright and fruitful and positive. Okay, we tend to deny that darkness. And so we need to move out of the darkness, acknowledging our brokenness, acknowledging our human condition, and move out of the darkness by getting out of denial. Once we do that, that can lead us to step two, or not step two, but our second lesson in this series. I talked 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, or 3 weeks ago, I can't remember now, on powerlessness. And when we move out of that darkness into the light, one thing in the darkness, we oftentimes fool ourselves that we are in control. And all that control brought me was a life of addiction, irresponsibility, overspending, unfaithfulness, deception, all those things. That's what me in control looked like. And so coming out of that darkness into the light of truth, into the light of I am powerless, was actually very freeing. And for those of you that have taken this journey, I think you would agree. And so when we looked at the powerless lesson, we talked about that powerlessness is a good place to be. When we get out of control and let God have control, that's where we want to be. The first beatitude that we look at in principle one, happy are the poor in spirit. What Jesus is speaking to there in the Sermon on the Mount is we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. We need to be poor in the spirit of Jack, in my case. And I need to let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, come in and fill me. And so if you look at Romans 7, verses 15 through 25, it gives you a great picture of Paul's battle with his new identity in Christ, his new creation, his rebirth as a new man, which he is 100% new man, and yet he's struggling with these old behaviors, okay? And powerlessness, and it finally culminates in verse 24 for 25 where he cries out, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And he answers that in the following verse saying, thanks be to God, thanks be to Jesus Christ. Okay. In other words, when we get to the point where our willpower outweighs our wretchedness, then we are powerless and we are ready to receive God and we are exactly where we need to be. And so that was our lesson a couple weeks ago. Now we move into hope. And this is what I'll call kind of the God or the Jesus lesson, because this is where we're relying on or coming to grips or coming to terms with who has the power. Let me just digress for a moment. If you are like me sitting out there when I walked through those doors 8 or 9 years ago and not a believer, I think you'll still find some information that you can at least mull over or consider in our hope lesson tonight. But certainly if you are a believer in Christ, these things should ring true, but perhaps have been forgotten or need to be refreshed from time to time. So that's where we're going tonight. Our hope, in other words, comes from the birth, as we're celebrating this time of year, of course, the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where our hope comes from. That's where our hope should be. And so in the hope lesson, we also move from focusing on principle number one, which we read earlier before we started, now into principle two and step two. And so I'm just going to put those on the screens and read those to you. So principle two says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, that he has the power to help me recover. And the beatitude that corresponds with that is, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Step two, so of the 12 steps, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Philippians 2:13 is the scripture that goes with that, and that is, for it is For it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. So once again, focused on who that power is. So as we can see from step two, it begins, as far as if we're reading it, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves. And that takes us to the first letter in our acrostic tonight, and that is H, and that is for higher power. Romans 11:36 says, everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power. So a bold, firm, complete, all-encompassing statement there as far as what we look, what our higher power is. Everything comes from our higher power. Everything lives by his power. 2 Corinthians 12:9, God tells Paul, my grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And that's just a great scripture for Celebrate Recovery. In fact, I think one of my brothers last week was mentioning this in small group, this idea of how our power, his power, is made perfect in our weakness when we reach that powerless point. Now, higher power, the concept at least, or the terminology, is not unique to Celebrate Recovery. Most secular recovery programs use that concept as well. And it makes sense, because having a higher power forces us to get out of ourselves. And in using my example, when I was in here, when I was in the head of Jack, that was not a good place to be. As much as I thought it was, as much as I thought I was in control, that was not a good place to be. It was a selfish place to be, a self-centered place to be, a closed-minded, a manipulative, I'm looking through the world through Jack's set of eyes type place. And so a higher power forces me outside of that. And so that makes sense that recovery, we need that. And so you'll see in secular programs, some people, they'll have a variety of different higher powers. And honestly, higher power makes sense just if you buy into what we talked about a couple of weeks ago of being powerless. If we are powerless, and somebody's got to have the power, so that higher power, once again, kind of makes sense in that terminology. But in secular programs, your higher power typically can be anything. And you get to choose it. Now, I don't have a good track record, at least alcoholic Jack did not have a good track record with choosing, with making good choices. And so if you leave it up to me, alcoholic Jack, to choose my higher power, that's not going to be a good thing, okay? I'm going to choose one of those Costco sample ladies, okay? A higher power gives out free stuff, expects no commitment, nothing in return. That's a sweet higher power, according to alcoholic Jack thinking, okay? So leaving it up to me and my choice is not necessarily a good thing, and I think that's where sometimes that higher power concept maybe is not as beneficial to folks as it might be, as opposed to how we look at it in Celebrate Recovery. In Celebrate Recovery, our higher power is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, period. In Celebrate Recovery, our higher power, Jesus Christ, chooses us, not the other way around. Now, we choose to believe, we choose to receive his gifts of grace and mercy, absolutely, but he chose us. He chose us before we were born. He chose us as he died on the cross for our sins, past, present, future. Personally, he chose me while I was still an atheist and a raging drunk. So he chooses us. Our higher power chooses us in Celebrate Recovery, and that's pretty awesome. John 15:16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. So in CR, Jesus is the one true higher power. You could even say the highest power. The power greater than ourselves who can and does restore us to sanity. He has the power to do so, and he does do so. I was talking to somebody earlier tonight, just talking about this idea of the secular world versus having a faith. And you know, in CR, in the faith world, we both areas deal with broken people. We just admit it here in Celebrate Recovery and address it, and we allow God to redeem. See, that idea of redemption, of God taking that junk and turning it into something good, that's something I think the secular world has a difficult time with, how to explain that, how to work through that. Makes sense to me. Makes sense when you look at it from that. So that's an added bonus that we have, as well as that, is that redemptive power that Christ has, that our higher power has. The second letter in our hope acrostic is O, and that stands for openness to change. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better." Yes, you must be a new and different person. And I read it that way for a reason, because I like to put all sorts of little character as far as how people are writing these things. But I just like the way that sounds, where it's not just stopping with, you know, your attitudes and thoughts must constantly be changing for the better. It emphasizes with, yes, you actually need to do this, okay? So it's like, you need Jack. I laughed today. I'm on the table. He's taking my blood pressure. He's doing the heart thing. And he asked me if I'm, a fitness guy or whatever. I said, no, I just pretend to be, because my numbers were low, but I don't do a lot of the exercising. I could use the gym. But see, I'm the type of guy that will buy the gym membership, so I'll do the attitude and thoughts. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to get a gym membership. But the yes, you must be a new and different person is, I got to actually go to the gym. Okay, you got to actually walk the walk. And so it's that two-part piece there that Ephesians 4:23 is looking at. As an atheist, I struggled with, because when I did the AA thing, and still attend AA from time to time, but as an atheist, I struggled with step two in my previous attempts at recovery. I couldn't get that idea of believing in a higher power, greater than ourselves, all that type of stuff. The only, I could not think of, to be honest with you, I could not think of a power greater than myself. I mean, I'm Jack. Who else is out there? That's the sick mindset that I have. Okay, and so trying to get this higher power thing when I'm thinking I don't need that doesn't work. I had this idea that that I would just be drinking along one day, minding my own business, and out of the blue, a higher power would present itself to me, and everything would be fine. And in a way, in a weird way, God kind of almost did that. But certainly not before I was a believer. That wasn't going to connect. I was expecting the higher power to do that for me. Well, when my wretchedness finally outweighed my willpower, I began to be open to a change in my thinking. And that truly changed everything in my life. See, I should have been more focused on the first part of step two. We came to believe, rather than the rest of step two. We came to believe. In other words, looking at it as it's a process. Just like our faith journey is a journey. Our recovery walk is a walk. We came to believe. I like what the founder of Celebrate Recovery, John Baker, says about this. He writes, "Saying that we came to believe in anything describes a process. Belief is the result of," and he lists, "consideration, doubt, reasoning, and concluding." Okay? So, we came to believe. That's a process. So in my life, in my walk, this looked like consideration was I reluctantly, some of you know my story, I reluctantly began attending church here about 9 or 10 years ago with my wife. And I did it solely as a way to get her off my back from drinking. I was doing like one good thing. So an atheist drunk going to church, check the box, I'm good. Okay, that was my consideration part. Doubt, absolutely. I'm an atheist. I'm in church. I don't believe in God, but I'm going to church, and I'm finding all sorts of reasons why this is not possible, and yet I am feeling him while at the same time not believing in him. So that was kind of odd. Then it moved to reasoning, and I began to argue with a God that didn't exist. I began to resist a God that wasn't pursuing me, supposedly. And all of a sudden reasoning kicked in and said, okay, either I'm loony or there really is a God, okay? concluding the final step that both are true. I'm loony and there is a God. See, there you go. Okay. But no, that's what I, the conclusion was, there must be a pursuer. There must be a one true higher power. And so, I like that, the idea of we came to believe. And I think that can describe our faith walk just as it can our recovery walk. As we kind of move in and out of feeling closer to Christ and feeling more distant as we move in and out, but just continuing to be willing to walk the walk. So what is the change in your life that you need to be open to right now? Some of you have many years of sobriety, have many years of recovery from your particular hurt, habit, or hang-up that brought you through those doors X number of years ago. But what is it today? In other words, if you're like me, the reason you keep coming back is because there's always something that this program can help me work on. So what is it that you need to be open to changing in your life today? And what do you need in order to make that change happen? What you need, at least one of the things I think you need, is our next letter in our acrostic, which is the P. And that stands for the power to change. You need the power to change. Philippians 4:13, "For I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and the power." And Psalm 25:5, another scripture that goes with this idea of power to change, "Lead me, teach me, for you are the God who gives me salvation. I have no hope except for you." So I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking example of what that power and strength and teaching and salvation can do. And so are a lot of you. So just think about that for a moment. "Lead me, teach me, for you are the God who gives me salvation. I have no hope except in you." So it's not about finding the power inside of you. All right? It's not about trying harder, as I say all the time. Remember the H. Higher power, not Jack power, okay, or you power. It's about turning your old self over to God's power to transform you. That's the power that took a selfish and self-centered atheist of about 45 years, who had spent 25 of those 45 years as a raging drunk, and transformed him into a sober believer. With, as we sit here today, about 8 years of sobriety. A guy that was hopeless, as I mentioned, 9 years ago when I walked through the door, is now up here talking about hope. That's wacky. So that's not only God's sense of humor, that's the power of God. So we need to be tap into that power of change to transform you from within. How much time do we spend trying to influence or exert external short-term behavior modifications on ourselves rather than tapping into God's true power to change us, to transform us? All right, the last letter in acrostic tonight is the E, and that is for expect to change. And I love this section of the teaching just because I tend to be a positive, upbeat kind of guy. I really take a lot of comfort and a lot of strength in the fact that we do know the end of this story. In the big picture, scares me sometimes. In other words, I know God has a plan. I know it's all going to work out in the end. It's just that oftentimes His working it out doesn't look like how I would work it out, and so that's the scary part. But I know the end of the story. Philippians 1:6, one we hear often. "I'm sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in His grace until His task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns." So why should you, sitting out there, sitting at home, wherever, with your hurts, habits, and your hang-ups, why should you expect to change? Well, one reason would be to, if you come to this meeting, to just look around. Pay attention in small group. Pay attention as you're talking to folks here. You are surrounded by folks that have been changed, been transformed by God. You're not, I know we all want to think we're special, but you're not that special from that standpoint. God can change you too, okay? Expect to be changed. One of the other reasons that I would offer up to why you should expect to be changed can be found if you open up that Bible book. It is filled with recitations of changed lives. Josh Bidwell, I've used this quote before because I like it, and actually came across a very similar one I'll share with you a little bit later, but he was speaking at a men's breakfast here a few years ago. He talked about his definition, or the definition of biblical hope, and he says it's the absolute expectation of coming good. So expect to change. If your hope is in Jesus, if your hope is in the one true higher power, then you should expect to change. As I read earlier, because it's not in the strength of your desire or your wishes, it's in the confident expectation of God's promises, of His power, His strength, His promises, His faithfulness. So Scripture's filled, and I guess so. Why should you expect to change? And I'll kind of wrap it up here with, because in God's eyes you already have, and you need to plug into that reality. And that's one you will find that if you open up Scripture. Scripture is filled with this affirmation of our newness, of our current state in God's eyes. And let me just share one with you from Colossians 1:22. This is the New Living Translation version. I kind of like this one. It says, "Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault." Okay, that's the word of the Lord. That's how God sees you. Why should you expect to change? Well, because from God's vantage point, you already have. So act like it. Okay. So just to wrap up, higher power, we kind of look at what hope is for us. We put our hope in the higher power, Jesus Christ. We put our hope in that higher power because God has the power to change us. He has the ability to make the impossible possible. We've heard that phrase, with man this is impossible, with God all things are possible. That's just another way of kind of phrasing that. Expect to change. God can make anything possible. We need to be open to the change. We need to be at least thinking about that process of change. And so as I asked you earlier tonight, what is it in your life right now that you need to be open to changing, to kind of going through that process that we looked at earlier of consideration, doubt, reasoning, and then concluding. So just kind of working on that. And then as I mentioned, go into this with the expectation of change, and just give you some reasons why you should think that. That is all I have for you. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we are in awe of you. We do turn to you as our higher power, as the higher power. Lord, I ask that you give each of us, put upon our hearts that openness to change, that you take away the stubbornness and the pride and the resentments and any of those things, the habits, the routine, the opinions, just that you take those away and just allow us to be open to that change, and that the change is not about us doing more and us trying harder, but that it's about turning to you, Father, that it's about resting in your arms. It's about allowing you to do that transformative work in us, because you can, and you have done. Your Son has already taken care of the end of the story, if you will. We just want to live it and live as we are viewed in your eyes. And I ask, Lord, that you just send us out during this season of hope, as the world is as crazy as it is, that you send us out in this season of hope where we can confidently proclaim that. We can do that with grace, that we can do that with love, but that we can be confident, certain of that coming good, and that we can share that with others, that we can explain why we have hope in this somewhat at times hopeless world. Father, we pray these things in your name. Amen.